This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Some of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on two different occasions they had escaped the persecution of Mecca and they were granted permission to go to Abyssinia because it was ruled by a just king, where justice was the foundation of his kingdom, despite being a Christian kingdom. And when the Muslims came back to Medina, many, many, many years later, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was speaking to those young people who had lived most of their life over there, and now they're back to this new reality. And Ja'far ibn Abi Talib narrates this hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said to that delegation, he said to them, what was the most interesting thing? What was the most shocking thing that you saw when you were in Abyssinia? And so a few young men said, Ya Rasulullah, we were once sitting and we noticed that there was this Abyssinian woman and she was walking and carrying a vessel of water and perhaps some food on her head. She was balancing it on her head and she was walking. And a young man came from behind her and shoved her. She lost her balance. She fell forward. The water vessel on top of her head fell, obviously spilling everywhere. And she was very angry. And so she said to the young man who had just assaulted her, who had just pushed her, unprovoked, she said, سَوْفَ تَعْلَمْ يَا غُدَرْ إِذَا وَضَعَ اللَّهُ الْكُرْسِي وَجَمَعَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَالْآخِرِينَ وَتَكَلَّمَتِ الْأَيْدِي وَالْأَرْجُلْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ أَتَعْلَمْ أَمْرِي وَأَمْرَكَ عِنْدَهُ غَدَى فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ صَدَقَتْ 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 لَا قُدِّسَتْ أُمَّةَ لا يأخذ الضعيف فيها حقه غير متعتع من القوي. So she said to that man who had shoved her, that young man, she said, you will know very soon on the day of judgment, O traitor, you will know that when Allah brings the footstool on the day of judgment, and when He brings the first of the people and the last of the people, when the hands and the legs and the feet will all testify for what people have done in this life, then you will know what is between you and me for what you have done. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, she has spoken the truth. She has spoken the truth. She has spoken the truth. How can a nation seek salvation? How can a nation be saved, be blessed, except until the weakest of that nation can take its rights back from those who are in power without any hesitation from those who are in power? Their rights must be extracted back. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time, and over this past week, we have witnessed immense suffering, immense oppression, immense zulm beyond measure. And I want you to think about, in the midst of all of these things, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does the Prophet ﷺ teach us in these moments? What should we do? What is our correct action? Because more often than not, our emotions might sometimes misguide us. In the heat of the moment, because we are all feeling the pain, we are all feeling the outrage, we are all feeling the suffering. As the Prophet ﷺ described, that the condition of the believer, the entire Muslim ummah, is like that of a body. That if one part of it is hurting, the rest of the body hurts. And we have seen countless images and videos, and our hearts bleed from what we see. Brothers and sisters, oppression and injustice is one of the worst things that anyone can do. In fact, it is so horrible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbade it upon Himself. Not that Allah would ever do it, but He said, Ya ibadi, inni harramtu dhulma ala nafsi fala tadhalamu. O my servants, I have made oppression haram upon myself, so do not oppress one another. Inna Allah la yadhlimu an-nasa shay'a, walakin an-nasa anfusahum yadhlimun. Allah does not oppress anyone with anything, but it is the people who are oppressing themselves. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he tells us, الظلم ظلمات يوم القيامة. Oppression will be of multiple layers of darkness on the Day of Judgment. So woe to the oppressors. Woe to the murderers. Woe to the tyrants. Woe to those who have sold their deen and their honor for personal gain at the expense of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, it is natural for us to feel outraged and to feel angry and to feel pain. But I want you to look at this example from the life of the Prophet ﷺ, in which this companion Khabbab ibn Arat, who was one of the most persecuted companions of all time, you know what he was subjugated to? They used to burn a hot iron rod until it was red. And then they would strike his head with that hot rod until he would fall down screaming in pain. And then they would melt his skin and flesh until it reached his bones from behind. Because why? Because he said, La ilaha illallah. What have we been tested with? Khabbab ibn al-Arat, he came to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ was reclining in the shade of the Kaaba with a few other companions. They were some of the most oppressed people, physically tortured. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, ala tad'u lana, ala tastansir lana. Messenger of Allah, pray for us. Do not pray for us. Give us victory. The Prophet ﷺ said, there will come a time, there used to be a time where the people of the past, for those who believed in Allah, a hole would be dug for him, and they would be put inside that hole, and they would be sawed in half. And they would bring metal combs, knives that would skin them and remove their muscle up to their bones, all because of them saying, La ilaha illallah. But you are a people who are, you rush, you are impatient, and that there will come a time where a rider will ride between Sana'a and Hadramaut, and he will not fear anyone but Allah. Brothers and sisters, know in your heart that all of those who have suffered, who have been killed, who have been hurt, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward them in ways that you cannot imagine. You must have yaqeen in this. These martyrs are enjoying themselves right now as we speak. As Allah says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتًا بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. Do not think that those who have been killed in the way of Allah, that they have just simply died, they are dead. بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. They are alive, being taken care of by Allah, being given heavenly sustenance. Brothers and sisters, looking at what is going on, it is time for us to reflect and humble ourselves and be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Has Allah tested any of us here like this before? Like the way we've seen? Has Allah tested our faith like this? Next time, when you think you are in a difficult spot, reflect on those who are suffering more. Reflect on those who have lost entire families, and ask Allah to grant you patience. Ask Allah to give you perspective in what is the meaning of life. Brothers and sisters, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold all oppressors accountable on the day of judgment. There is no escape. Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not for once think that Allah is unaware of those oppressors for what they have done. Verily, Allah is delaying them for the day of judgment in which they will be punished, in which they will be held accountable. Their necks will be outstretched and they'll be looking forward. But when they see the punishment of Allah, what does Allah describe them? Their hearts will be completely empty in fear. And they will say, O Allah, return us back. And sometimes we ask ourselves, why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't bring justice right now? Why is it that oppressors seem to be having the upper hand and enjoying themselves? Allah tells us in the Quran, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ إِنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ لِيَزْدَادُوا إِثْمًا وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. Do not let those people ever think that we have extended their time out of just pure enjoyment, and that is somehow better for them. Allah is saying that we will only extend it for them so that they may increase in sin, and for them is a humiliating punishment. Brothers and sisters, Allah does not break His promises, and know that His will shall be done in this world or in the hereafter. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد. A few months after the Battle of Uhud, a man by the name of Abu Bara, Amir ibn Malik, he was the chief of the Banu Amir tribe. He came to the Prophet ﷺ and he presented the Prophet ﷺ with a gift. The Prophet ﷺ invited him to Islam. He refused. But he wasn't rude about it. He simply declined the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ told him, come into Islam. And the Prophet said, and he said, well, here's my gift for you, Messenger of Muhammad. And the Prophet ﷺ says, I do not accept gifts from the mushrikeen, from the polytheists. But if you embrace, I will accept this gift. So he said, actually, the people around me in my tribe near Najd, some of them have become Muslims. So please send for us some people who will come and recite the Quran and teach us about the deen. The Prophet ﷺ felt that there was something a little bit off. He knew that the people near Najd during that time were enemies towards the Prophet ﷺ. He feared for them. He feared that if he did send his companions, that harm would come to them. So the man said, I will have them under my protection. I am a chief of the Bani Amr. I will protect them. So the Prophet ﷺ sent 70 of them. And they were amongst the best of the Sahaba. The majority of them had memorized large portions of the Quran. They would chop wood and earn money and give it to the people that were living, the poor people that were living in the masjid, the Ahlul Sufa. They used to learn the Quran and they used to teach it and they used to get up at night and pray. They were simply some of the best of the companions. When they reached their destination, the nephew of this chief, Amr ibn Tufail, he hated the Prophet ﷺ. He gathered 1,000 people and he surrounded these 70 companions. And a companion by the name of Haram bin Malhan, he stepped forward. He says, let me read to them the message from the Prophet ﷺ. Amr bin Tufail, this nephew of this man, of the chief, he signals to a person from behind. And this person comes from behind Haram bin Malhan, the representative of these 70 companions. He takes out a spear and stabs him from the back until it comes out from the front. And as this companion was dying, he saw the blood coming out and he took it and he wiped it on his face and he said, Fuztu wa Rabb al-Kaaba. I have won by the Lord of the Kaaba. These 1,000 people from Ri'l and from Dhakwan and from and Usayyah, they massacred 68 of these companions. Two of them left were coming from behind, from the rear end, just checking. And one of them still ended up getting killed, and another one was captured and sold into bondage. When the Prophet ﷺ heard about this, he became so sad. Because these were his beloved companions who were murdered for no reason. And so he made dua, brothers and sisters. This is the key point. He made dua for an entire month. Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. For them. And to ask Allah to bring justice. And it wasn't until many, many years later, Amr al-Tufayli, this person who orchestrated this entire massacre, he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he pretended that he wanted to be a Muslim. And he came with this man called Irbid. And he came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, Ya Rasulullah, allow us three to speak in private. And he told Irbid, he says, when he gives us this private audience, take your sword out and assassinate the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ said, no. But speak publicly. Speak publicly. Because the Prophet ﷺ knew this person, what he did. And so he started negotiating with the Prophet ﷺ. What am I going to get if I believe in you? Do I get money? The Prophet ﷺ said, no. He says, make me your Khalifa, make me your Caliph after you die. He said, no. He said, make me the king of the Arabs of the Bedouins and you are the king of the Arabs of the cities. And he said, no. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, oh Allah, protect me from him. Protect me from him and his tribe. After these two people left and departed Medina, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a lightning down and killed Irbid on the spot. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala afflicted Amr bin Tufayl with an extremely fast-growing tumor that only grows in livestock and camels. And it completely destroyed him and he died this painful death. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet ﷺ tells us that when the dua of the mazloom, the oppressed, is made, it goes up to the heavens, it is lifted up above the clouds, and it opens up the doors of the heavens. And Allah says, وَعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي لَأَنصُرَنَّكِ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. By my glory and by my honor, I will give you victory, even if it's just a little bit later. Brothers and sisters, this teaches us that we must be patient with Allah's decision. That Allah's justice doesn't come on our timeline, but on the way that he deems it to be wise and at the right time. And when it comes, it will come swiftly and no one can stop it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive those and to admit all of those who have been oppressed in the holy lands into Firdaus al-A'la. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give their families patience. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the strength to speak justice in the face of oppression. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. أقم الصلاة.